are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. I'm Adam Klepitar, one of the co-hosts of the podcast, along with...
Jonah Sykes, the other co-host. Yeah, that's who I am.
That's who you are?
Yeah, that's who I am. I'm Jonah Sykes.
How are you
doing
today, Jonah?
I'm doing okay. It's been a wild week, mostly related to chickens, incubations, ducks, and geese. And I'm not going to get into it right now, but maybe if there's time later, we can. But it's been a wild, wild week. So
quite literally.
Quite literally. Yeah. Sometimes you can take any eggs out of any refrigerator, anywhere you find them, and put them into an incubator, and they will hatch.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's also a little terrifying because we're not sure sometimes what they are. We thought we might be hatching hawks at one point a couple weeks ago. They turned out to be ducks.
We are going to definitely go down a road where I start talking about dire wolves, and then we've got dinosaur eggs in Jonah's fridge. So I think we should
introduce our
guests. Very excited to have Juliana Spolholtz, who is the chair of the English department and English faculty member, but is here specifically today to talk about the zine, and Deirdre Sullivan, who is an adjunct English teacher, but also does and has done about a million other things that I'm hoping we can dig into a little bit today. So it's great to have both of you on.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes.
So, Juliana, I think I'd like to start with you. You talk a little bit about who you are, what you do at the college, and our last episode was with Matt Mueller, and we talked to him about his writing, and I know you're a writer as well. I've actually read your book. It's very funny. Would love to just kind of hear about, you know, some of the things that you do.
Yeah. So, as you said, I'm a professor of English. I've been here at BCC since 2012, which, when I do the math, feels like kind of long. I'm currently chair of the English department. That won't be forever. I think last year will be my last year of that. We'll see. But I started as faculty advisor to Zine in 2013. So my first issue that I was responsible for was that spring of 2014.
Of your time here.
Yeah, most of my time here. And then I did take a sabbatical leave in spring of 2020, which was a magical time to take a sabbatical leave. Professor Nell McCabe took over Zine while I was gone and did a wonderful job. And then last year, the director, the coordinator of the Writing Center, Liesl Schwab, took over Zine and did a wonderful job. But then she left for Calcutta on a Fulbright scholarship. Yeah. And so presumably she'll be returning to her role as Zine overseer.
So you can always pinch hit. You're always here.
I'm always here for, you know, in an emergency. I'm your girl.
That's cool. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi.
How about you?
Well, I'm Deirdre Sullivan, and I was asked in the fall of 2008, after I participated in a special program for ESL students, if I wanted to teach here. So I've been here every fall and spring since 2008. So I'm in my 17th year.
Wow.
And I teach the art of writing in composition classes. I also taught a poetry class in the fall. This past fall of 2024. I'm an artist and a writer and actor. It's just kind of, you know, all over the place. And I decided about, I don't know, 28 years ago that artists should give back to public education. So I got certified in elementary, middle school, and high school. I taught 7 years at Monument. I taught literature and drama classes, and was the advisor to the Literary Arts Magazine, and then also, you know, the liaison to the Fall Festival for Shakespeare and Company. And then I decided full-time was too much. I couldn't have a balanced life. I needed to be able to do my own art, as well as teach students and give them confidence to find their voice and discover the fun and joy of writing part-time.
That's kind of interesting because you do work full time, mm-hmm. and you've kind of made this choice to do your art is a big part of what you're doing, and then also to teach. I'm curious just to hear from both of you how you stay active in your creative journey and how you make that work in kind of two different schedules that you've chosen for yourselves?
Well, so I, to be very honest, I mean, if I may, I have.
We do encourage honesty.
lie to us. Yeah, our audience.
We used to send these emails to campus, and everything in it was a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I mean, we've tried to like bring that's a joke.
Consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, honesty. That's what 2025 is known for. So my life outside of teaching full time I won't even say teaching full time, although that is true, but just being a full time faculty member at the college is like, you're not just teaching, you know, you're doing about a million other things and really being integrated in the community and showing up for stuff and organizing things and being on committee. So it's a lot and it takes up a lot. And, so out in my personal life, I'm a single parent, as I know Adam knows, and so I spend a lot of time at basketball games.
You do?
Which Adam also knows, as does Deirdre. So writing has really taken a back seat for me in the past several years as the demands of everything has gotten more. And my creative pursuit now, I would say, has really shifted to gardening, outside.
Yeah,
like learning about horticulture, learning about plants.
I can't wait till you get back into writing and your stories are about this person who wants to be in a garden but spends all of their time listening to about basketball bounce.
Yeah. No, it is. I was, as a young person, I was like an art and theater kid. And so I always assumed that my child would be a thespian, and that is not what happened at all. He is an athlete extraordinaire, and so it's wonderful because it has opened a whole new world to me.
It is interesting because Juliana and I have kids who are in the same grade, and my other daughter is about the same age, and I'm actually the exact opposite. So
yeah.
I grew up playing basketball, spent all of my free time in gyms, and have two kids who are into art, theater, and music.
Oh, so, my gosh, amazing.
Yeah, these things happen.
I guess I should have assumed, you said I spend most of my time at the basketball. I thought maybe you were playing basketball.
Like, oh,
you're just like, I
love
playing basketball more than I like doing anything else. Now it makes sense you're talking about your kids. Okay, I get it. So,
In fact, my son makes fun of how I throw a basketball. Yeah.
The fact that you said throw a basketball, Mike.
What would you call it?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm supposed to shoot.
You
a
shoot
basketball.
The basketball.
Shoot
that's
the basketball. On dribble. Yeah,
well,
okay.
I think, Deirdre, we'll come back and ask you the same question to give you a second to think about that. We're going to take a quick break. Please come back after that break with us.
Yeah, we'll be right back with you. This podcast could have been an email at Berkshire Community College.
Want to learn more about the Zine, the BCC Journal of Literary and Visual Arts? Head to their website, berkshirecc.edu/zine, to check out the latest installment and be sure to visit several previous versions on the website as well. Want to get your hands on your own physical copy? There are copies available across campus, including at the library and at the Writing Center in Melville. This journal has published poetry, short fiction, creative nonfiction, script, mixed or cross-genre work, and critical essays, and also considers any form of visual art. So head to berkshirecc.edu/zine to check out the latest installment today.
Welcome back. We finished out the last segment with Juliana talking about, you know, I think I share this, when you have teenagers, your life changes and some of your priorities aren't your priorities anymore. And I think we're both kind of at the precipice of whatever happens next. But Deirdre, you have been able to kind of maintain a lifespan of the arts. I'd love to hear about your process.
Yes. So, since childhood, my parents met doing a play. My mother was an actor, so we learned to breathe from the diaphragm and mime and all that stuff. And I thought, when I went to kindergarten, all children had learned that. And I'd also done visual art. So in high school, I had this quandary, do I want to be a painter or do I want to be an actor? And then I thought, well, there's always film banking. And so I studied film and made films. And, you know, even returned to my roots by studying mime with Marcel Marceau for a summer. And so that
Wait,
was...
Wait, what?
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, he was at the University of Michigan.
I like the way that you were just going to kind of like...
Yeah. Just a little Marceau.
And I put myself through school, so that broke my bank, studying with Marcel Marceau. But I studied film with Rudolf Arnheim and at San Francisco Art Institute, George Cushar, underground filmmaker, and Al Wong.
So it was always about who you study with. I never really cared much about getting the degree. I ended up getting it at North Adams State College, finishing there. But I attended the University of Michigan, the Chicago Art Institute, Loyola University, and San Francisco Art Institute. So my attitude...
What a journey.
Yeah. So my attitude, like, I would like to change the name of the English department to the Reading and Writing Arts Department. I think it's really about what you do. And what you impart to the students so that your balance with that creative for yourself also makes you a better teacher, at least for me. And that's kind of that balancing. And being involved, especially for the last 30 years, as an early board for Mass MoCA, picking diodes up off the old Sprague Electric floor when it was a mildewed warehouse and hoping that it would open, you know, and having two art galleries and doing the fairy festival, the Berkshire Mountains Fairy Festival, and playing the part of the fairy queen, always thinking about community, always thinking about the people in the community, whether it be in the education system or just in the community at large, for promoting the arts, supporting the arts, and not being afraid of volunteer work, which is very rewarding, as well as getting paid for things. So, you know, this is where one of my students in his essay, final reflection essay, said, "I wish you had shared more of your work with us." And I thought, I'd never thought about that, you know, because I don't like to, you know, necessarily put myself out there.
Yeah.
But what's important to me is that what I know of the creative process gets imparted to the students. That it's certainly doable. It's certainly
and that's
viable.
A really, I think, a really nice segue into talking about the zine. So that was the reason that we had invited Deirdre and Juliana in today to talk about the zine. And I think maybe we've had a lot of new people join BCC in the last couple of years. And maybe just a little background on what the zine is and who can submit to it and what type of submissions there are would be a nice introduction to our listeners.
So I don't know exactly what year Zine was started, but it was sometime in the 90s and by a faculty member named Andrew Howitt. And so it's been around since then, and it's gone through many different you know, transformations. I brought one of the older copies here. They're pretty interesting. There was a lot of, like, sort of Asian imagery, like very, I believe that Professor Howitt was studied Buddhism, okay. and so it's very kind of very beautiful. So the aesthetic of Zine has changed over time, but it has always been a journal of writing and visual art that is created by members of the BCC community. So primarily students, but we also have published alumni, graduated students, and we have also now started publishing members of the faculty, staff, and administration who cared to share their work with us. Yeah. That's the jam.
That's great. Do you think you'd be willing to read something from this year's?
Oh, from this year's?
Any year you want to read from.
Okay. Well, what I did was I brought with me a piece that I remembered. This is back from 2016, and this is one of my favorite pieces that has ever been published because it's so funny. I certainly don't have time to read the whole thing, but I'll set you up. It's called The Ouija Myth, and it's by a student at the time named Caitlin Burt. And the whole premise is that she is very suspicious of Ouija boards, like doesn't believe, high skeptic, we'll say it like that. So she decides to do an experiment. So she explains how Ouija boards work, and then she goes into this part. She says, every website I visited begins with a warning and usually ends with another warning, both going on about all the danger spirits can pose to those messing around with the board. Novices like me are advised to seek out someone who knows what they're doing, or else forego using the board entirely. Other sites claim that you should never use the board alone, as it makes you more vulnerable to harmful energies. Many more caution readers to never ask a spirit for physical signs of their presence, as that gives them a foothold in the living world. One especially informative site advises that you should begin each Ouija session by loudly welcoming all positive energies while also telling negative energies that they have no place here. Above all, the most common tip is to simply be polite and respectful at all times. Therefore, my to-do list for the experiment is 1. Start by only welcoming negative energies. 2. Use the Ouija board alone. 3. Be extremely rude. 4. Ask them for physical signs of their presence. 5. Dare them to try and possess me. With this list in hand, I made arrangements to start the test on the night of the Super Bowl. There's no real significance there, though. It was just the only night I was free.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great?
It was really great. Oh, man, I don't even know what to ask.
So, in general, just as we wrap up the second segment here, what do you? How do folks like get to contribute to the zine?
Do you want to go there, Deirdre?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
It's open really starting in the fall with a deadline of maybe February in the spring.
Okay.
Well, not yet spring, still winter.
Yeah.
But for getting everything together to the designer and the printer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really fabulous to encourage faculty and staff to contribute because mm-hmm. as I mentioned with my student, they're really enhanced by knowing that we do other things besides teach and
yeah.
that we also are in the process of writing, which they're doing as well.
That's great.
So, in fact, the selection I chose for the next further on in uh-huh. this podcast is from this year's zine.
Oh, great.
And,
awesome.
So, at any rate, that's just basically one of the students who was on the editorial board came up with a poster, and Jonah, thank you for all your help on that to facilitate
You're
that.
Welcome.
Which was, you want to get published? Period.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah.
You want to? Because I also try to let students know, very good experience and resume material to have been published.
Yeah, that's
in
great.
Your college literary arts magazine.
We're going to take one more pause right here. We're going to be right back with our next segment, so please stick with us. We'll be right back.
In case you missed it in the previous episode, but BCC is hosting the first Berkshire State of Work Summit on Wednesday, June 18th on campus from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. This event is billed as a conference that will look at From Hiring to Thriving, a new era of workplace culture. People are saying that they're wicked excited for J.D. Chesloff, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Business Roundtable, to be the conference keynote speaker. So don't miss it. Check it out at berkshirecc.edu/worksummit.
All right, we're back. Thanks a lot for that last segment. I'm interested in hearing from both of you. You know, what excites you about working at BCC? And both of you are teaching. You're teaching the fall, right?
Yeah.
And I know Juliana's teaching this summer.
And this summer I'm teaching.
Oh, you are teaching this summer. So curious to hear what makes you excited to come to work every day and what classes do you have that are coming up that you're kind of pumped up about teaching?
Mm. Well, so, I mean, to kind of hearken back to what we were talking about before about being full-time and how it's busy, I mean, it is very busy, but that's also what I really like about it. You know, it's not the busyness so much, but the opportunity to really be a part of many different segments of this community and a lot of different projects. And something I've always appreciated about BCC is the college's support and willingness to support new ideas and initiatives. And so coming up, teaching-wise, in fact, the two courses that I'm very excited about, I designed both of them, so
ooh,
go figure.
That's cool.
You know, you'd like, that's probably why I like them. But so this
sounds like that might be a creative outlet, too.
It is. I actually really love curriculum design. Yeah, I was like, I really, really like putting together online courses, and it's not so much because I'm obsessed with Moodle, but it's because...
those would be good t-shirts, by the way.
I'm obsessed with Moodle. Yeah. Ask me about my obsession with Moodle.
I like the curriculum design t-shirt. Like, I love curriculum design. I like that as a t-shirt.
Maybe our next venture could be t-shirt.
I love curriculum. That is the nerdiest t-shirt ever.
It would be so popular in the swag store.
It would. I mean, and anybody else on the street who's also obsessed with curriculum design would be your instant best friend. Yeah, it's a way to weed them out.
So many friends.
Your one new friend. anyway, so this summer I'm teaching global women's literature, which is always a joy. And by joy, I mean often very depressing, but really, really, really cool to sort of to very clearly have students whose eyes are really opened up by a lot of the topics that we read about.
And you said you're teaching that this summer, right?
Yeah.
And it's full.
It is almost full. I think there are two or three spots left, which it's a lot.
So get your advisees quick. But also, that is really cool that we have students with that much interest.
Oh, it's wonderful. Totally. Yeah. And then next spring, I'm looking forward to teaching for the second time an honors colloquium that I designed called Food, People, and the Planet.
Ooh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
How about you, Deirdre?
I think in 17 years, when you look in the mirror in the morning and brush your teeth and you've got to go someplace and it's work and you need that paycheck, that I've never felt safer and happier and more supported in all these 17 years.
Wow.
You've had those jobs that you kind of like, semi dread.
Yeah.
And I've never had that experience here with the faculty and staff. And with the programs that are offered, I daydream, maybe my thing is I'm going to teach composition classes. I'm teaching a comp two this summer. But I would love to do a fiction into film class where you read the fiction and then you look at the film or films from different countries. I remember taking a wonderful German cinema class. And somebody said to me, gosh, I wish we could offer something like that.
That's really cool.
Or world cinema. Getting more into the mix.
Yeah.
And of course, my love zone, my passion would really, be excited by creating classes like that.
I actually taught a class like that. When I was at my former institution, I used to teach in the learning community, and I did student development theory in partnership with an intro to Lit, and we did young adult novels, but always ones that had movies, and we would talk about
the
adaptive nature and what changes when you go to film, and it was great. And then we'd have the students study the characters using student development theory, and it was a trip. I miss teaching that a lot.
That's really cool.
Right, I do incorporate short films into my courses. One in the definition essay was a short film on emigration, from the point of view of somebody leaving Africa and coming to this country. But it was very elegiac, very lyrical, very poetic, not so much a documentary as an ode to the experience as a way of defining what that means. So I think that there's, these podcasts are great, and in different things that the college can be doing, including maybe looking in the future for Zine of doing everything in-house so that we're teaching our students how to do the layout, not giving it to a designer, but, looking at creating, I don't know, it could be a course or it could be, just part of being on the editorial board and getting some more people involved at the college who have expertise in that.
Yeah, and I think to your point, in the real world, when you work on a project, you don't work in isolation. You're working and collaborating with other people, either internal to wherever it is that you work or externally. And, Joan is a marketer and I'm a student affairs professional, but we work together all the time and we're thinking through, Joan is thinking through what things are going to look like or how we're going to communicate it. And I'm thinking about the content. So I think those are really tangible real life lessons. Deirdre, one of the things you talked about at the beginning when you were talking is how this is a place that you've always felt safe and a sense of camaraderie with the people that you work with. And I know that you've got something prepared to read, and it is also from a former colleague of ours who unfortunately and tragically passed away suddenly or within the year. And I think it's really touching that you all have published a piece from Lwanza, and I think that's what Deirdre is going to read
for us. Yes, she had just sent this to me, and before I had a chance, it was like on a Friday, and by that Monday, I found out that she had died, and I was so moved by this and asked permission from the family that we could publish it and read it and so forth. So this is Your Smile by Lwanza Lett Brewington. Your smile brings me joy and brightens my day. It is the spark that nurtures my soul without any words to say. Your smile has the warmth of the soothing golden sun. It is a beautiful spring day after soft rain showers have begun. Your smile can whisper sweet love notes that gently play across my body and bring pure delight. It tickles my heart with the memories of good days spent in the comfort of your arms holding me tight. Your smile is connected across generations and radiates a proud legacy. It rings forth a true purpose and true love that has meant much to me. Your smile will live on with the reflection of who you are. It serves as a comfort and guiding light to your essence and memories not too far. I will always remember you and your smile.
Thank you, and we'll be right back after this.
The next free community college info session is taking place on Tuesday, June 10th from 5 to 6 p.m. in the Lee Public Library. Tell your family, friends, and your colleagues that BCC is offering free community college to any Massachusetts resident who hasn't obtained a bachelor's degree. Simply have them apply to the college, complete their FAFSA, and then learn if they are eligible. More information is available at berkshirecc.edu/freecollege.
Welcome back. What a powerful way to end the last segment. That was a poem in the 2025 edition of the zine. We are actually about an hour away from the launch party, which by the time this podcast actually becomes available will have happened.
Yes.
So I think hopefully you were there and you had a great time. I heard it was the party of the year. I think probably those who didn't make it to the party, and maybe this is the first time they've heard about the zine, would be really curious about where they can get it. Mm-hmm. And maybe get involved in the future.
Yeah. So the copies of the book are hot off the press. They just arrived this week. We actually still need to unpack them from the boxes. And so the launch party will be today in the English Department Suite, which is Melville 431. And then after that, please feel free to drop by Melville 431 or the library or Susan B. Anthony Building, Student Life,
Writing Center,
certainly, yep, which is also in Melville, bookstore. So copies will be all around campus and free for the taking. Share them with your friends.
We should consider a way for folks to like request a copy too, like some sort of on the website, a little form where you can like, I had like a request a copy of the zine, and
I think that's a great idea.
More accessible too for folks, especially so for some of our online students who don't come to campus very often.
Yeah,
but look at
you
us.
Must be in marketing.
We're like problem solving like in real time right now.
I know.
Great.
IRL.
So I just want to take a moment to really thank you all for being here with us this afternoon and on this show. The zine is it's a really incredible way for us to highlight that BCC is more than 13th grade, and I think every chance we get to say that, to let people know about our deep history, our roots, and how we can actually, like, we have so much to offer. Mm-hmm. It just elevates the brand, elevates the reputation, elevates what we do. Mm. And I think that, Deirdre, please, take us out.
Can I add one thing about this year's publication is that the front and back covers are made by a student artist instead of just a graphic,
right,
which is fine too.
Yeah.
But they are stunning.
They're beautiful. And I know Juliana said earlier how the old one had this different feel to it, but this is very contemporary and unique.
It's beautiful.
It's really beautiful.
Can you say the artist's name?
Please. And I don't know. I have to put my glasses back on.
Maybe you know when you look around campus for the
Does it say the
for
cover?
The for copies? Keep your eye out for a very striking red book with a portrait on the front. It's in the
art section. In the art section.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. This is great content. This is also problem solving in real time.
Who is it? Ishmael?
Yeah.
Yes. So
okay.
You go ahead.
All right, Ismail Farah
is the
artist.
Shout out to our student artist who helped design the front and back cover
read.
Of this 2025 zine. I want to again thank you both for being with us this afternoon. Adam, any final thoughts?
I want to thank the both of you too, and you know I've gotten to work with both of you for almost 9 years now, and not only for your creative work here, but two people who are always willing to step up and help students, help us recruit students. A lot of gratitude. Today's also the last day of the academic term, and I want to leave our listeners with a lot of gratitude from Jonah and myself for this little experiment that we had that we started in December and doing this podcast, and I think it's resonated with some of you. It's been a lot of fun. We hope to continue to do it. You know, we live in a very, very difficult time, and we are in higher education specifically, where we see it's really uncertainty is the word. We don't know what's going to happen with funding. We don't know what we're going to be coming back to in the fall. I just feel very grateful to work at Berkshire Community College with all of you who are my colleagues and are our students. I think that we come to work every day. You talked about looking in the mirror, and I think I look in the mirror every morning and feel like I'm going to a place where we're doing really important work, where we're helping people, where we are making our community a better place. So thank you all, and we will be back maybe this summer with some episodes, and I wish you all a wonderful time, and I hope to see you at Tanglewood on May 30th for commencement.
Thank you all so much.
Hey, thanks, Adam and
Jonah.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, Could Have Been an Email. We want to thank the incredible Adam Klepetar for making this show happen, and Deirdre Sullivan and Juliana Spaholtz for being our phenomenal guests for today's show. As always, we want to thank Dave Cachet at PCTV for sharing our good works on all of your podcast streaming platforms, and we want to thank you, dear listener, for continuing to support this We BCC show. If you're interested in being a guest on our show, just shoot us an email or holler, "She doesn't even go here," at us in the hall. We are always looking for guests to tell their story about why BCC is the best place there ever was. My name is Jonah Sykes, and thank you for listening.